I spent 4 years in ROTC at Georgetown Medical School and was graduated as a physician and first lieutenant on May 25, 1942. From July 1, 42 to July 1, 43, I spent many arduous days in Providence Hospital, Washington, D.C., preparing myself for general practice. However, on August 13, 1943, I was inducted in the U.S. Army as a first lieutenant and given orders to report to Carlisle Barracks in Pennsylvania for 6 weeks of military medical training, to be followed by reporting to the 97th Infantry Division at Camp Swift in Bastrop, Texas. That unit was due for a transfer to Fort Lewis in Washington State and thence to the Southwest Pacific. I did not like those orders at all. After about 4 weeks at Carlisle Barracks, a paratroop medical officer with rank of captain appeared at all our classes. As I remember, there were a total of about 1,600 medical officers on the base then. He informed us that the parachute troops were looking for volunteers and invited us all to a meeting that night where the concept of parachute troops would be explained and jump paraphernalia would be shown, as well as an up-to-date training film. About 400 medics showed up that evening. After the talk and viewing of the equipment, about 300 were left. After the film, only 12 were present. Of these 12, after physical exams, I was one of four who were chosen. My orders were then completely changed, and I was to report to the 92nd Officers Training Battalion at Fort Benning in late September 43. I spent a week of orientation and medical duties there before actual training. I had volunteered for three reasons. One, I had always had a serious fear of heights. Even walking to the center of the road, if there was a precipice or waterfalls along the sidewalk, especially if it were a bridge. Second, the extra $100 a month sounded very good. Three, a matter of pride, and the knowledge that this training would cure me of my fears or kill me. Except for minor injuries, I rode out the training pretty well. On the Friday night of my third training week, a plane's propeller dropped off and the C-47 crashed, killing all passengers. I was determined after that when my turn came for a night jump, a week later, I would sit in my normal position across from the door, and if the motors began to fail, I would immediately jump out the door. When I received my parachute wings, I wrote to my parents, who learned for the first time that I had been at Fort Benning to get parachute training. I was from Rhode Island. In early November, I took a night train to Camp McCall, North Carolina, and reported to the 508 Parachute Infantry Regiment. I was issued a sleeping bag lined with hardened mud from the Tennessee maneuvers and placed it, after cleaning, on a cot next to a flimsy wooden barracks wall. It was quite cold there. I was made assistant battalion surgeon and assigned to the 3rd Battalion. The regiment was then in serious sustained training preparing for overseas shipment. And finally, on the evening of 20 December, the 508 closed in on Camp Shanks, New York, just 45 minutes from Broadway. More varied training followed, such as double timing about the post, abandon of ship in case of emergency, and so forth. Without patches or wings, and with boots unbloused, the troops set out for New York, 50% at a time, trying to take in as much as possible of the town in one night. Few of the men returned to camp till reveille, and the long, steep walk up the hill from the ferry and train was extremely tiresome. The final alert was soon given, and the men of the 508 were restricted to the camp on Christmas Day. Just before dark on 27 December, we were loaded on a train to the Weehawken Ferry and thence to a pier on Staten Island, where at 8 a.m. the 28th of December, our ship, the USAT James S. Parker, slid away from the pier.